Can stay here in Ephesians chapter 5. This will be our main text for today. As we continue in our study on modern-day idolatry here in America, we've covered a lot of ground so far, and we still have a little bit of ways still to go, just to prepare yourselves. We're going to be doing this until the end of July. So we have just a few more weeks left on the idols that we, even here in a first world where we don't carve idols out, where we don't actually build temples, we can even accidentally, those of us who even believe in God and worship Him, will accidentally find ourselves being pulled away from Him and look for life in other areas. So hopefully I haven't stepped on too many toes or just the right number of toes for you to begin evaluating what might be going on in your own hearts about the things in this world that can call us to go to them instead of God. And so many times, the things that we go to are things that God has given to us as a gift to be used for a purpose. Yet, we use them either not for their purpose, or we use the wrong things to get the thing that we want. Today, we are going to talk quite a bit about the topic of entertainment. But I don't want you all to shut yourselves off right that second, because it's not going to be the whole throw your TV out, smash your computer, and get your internet turned off type of sermon. So please don't assume that on me. Entertainment can be a wonderful thing, and yet I don't think it's too much of a stretch to say here in America, we've got too much of it, we intake way too much of it, and it becomes something that controls our behavior, our attitude, and what we say and what we do. That being said, entertainment isn't evil in and of itself. So what would it look like if someone were to worship the false god of entertainment instead of worshiping the God that fulfills our desires? Well, I'd like to submit just a few examples, and that's all that they are. They're examples. I did not pull these from your journals. I don't read your diaries. And just because I didn't say the thing that's in your mind right now, that the Spirit of God's like, hey, you need to be listening because this is the thing that's going on in your life, just because I don't mention it doesn't mean that it doesn't apply. But what it looks like potentially for someone who worships entertainment is, and I have several of these friends, they can quote every player on their favorite sports team with their weight, their stats for the last year and the year before that, and their current batting average, and yet somehow they can't memorize two verses of scripture. They keep up to date on every trade that has ever been made. They know where their favorite player is currently. They know what order in the batting order he is in. And they can tell you everything that they know about that team, and yet somehow they just really struggle memorizing. It looks like someone that could quote to you an entire trilogy of movies and yet can't remember what Sunday sermon was about. Looks like somebody that will sit down on their couch and think, oof, I'm just beat, let me unwind. And 6 hours later, realize, I gotta go to bed because I gotta go to work in the morning. And all they've been doing is scrolling on Facebook, TikTok, or YouTube, or the like. It looks like someone who will play video games and meet people online and talk with them, build camaraderie with them. And these people they will never meet in real life, meanwhile ignoring their kid in the room next door. I'll stop there because it can get uncomfortable if I start talking about you. Entertainment is something that can be easily overdone, overused, and I would say beginning to borderline or jump off the cliff of worshiping entertainment, the means of entertainment, the people giving us the entertainment, or just the simple want of entertainment. So as with all of these false gods that we turn to, and we are asking something from them, what are we asking from our entertainment? It could be that we're just looking for a way to have rest or to relax. Again, not a bad thing. You do your work, you work hard, and you need to unwind and find something enjoyable to do and to just stop doing whatever you've been doing all day. In fact, we had a whole Sunday school class last week about rest. Sabbath, making sure you have at least one day out of your 7 days of a week where you can actually take the time to rest. Now, granted, if you were listening, you weren't supposed to take that day off just to watch movies all day. You're supposed to take that time to be with God. But we can often use entertainment as a way to unwind, to rest, to find relaxation. And that is one of the good uses of entertainment. We often are looking for joy or happiness or a sense of calm. We turn to our forms of entertainment to relax, to calm ourselves. Something might be going terribly wrong in our day, and so we're just like, you know what, I could really just use a laugh right now. And so we go turn on something that's going to make us laugh. And that is not evil in itself either. Finally, we might be just looking for a distraction or an escape from the realities of our lives. There might be something terribly sad going on in our lives that is breaking your heart, whether it be someone who has passed away, who is not doing well, or someone who is being unreasonably mean to you right now. And we turn to entertainment to distract us, to say, no, I'm not going to deal with that. I'm going to just go over here and watch my shows. We're sometimes looking for a way to escape our current set of circumstances. For some people, that would be to escape the fact that they are single. They want to be transported into a fairy tale romance story in a book or in a movie where they get to live for those 2 hours like they're married to somebody very special. Could be, for some of us, an escape into a fantasy world because we have come to the realization that our world is not so great. So it would be cool to envision an existence that is so dissimilar to our own. All of these have their rightful place, but as with dessert, if it's the only thing we do, you end up being quite unhealthy. If all we do in order to rest is turn on shows, go on Facebook, listen to the news, or play video games, those are our only coping mechanisms, and we find a cheap imitation for the rest that God offers us. If we only find happiness, the ability to laugh, the ability to be calm in our entertainment, we will not be able to function in our actual lives and our relationships without it. The thing that I want to spend the most time addressing today is the tendency for us to use entertainment, whether that be our hobbies or TV shows, music, video games, things of that nature, as a distraction or a form of escapism. Escapism is a very dangerous thing for a Christian. I'd submit to you today that Ephesians chapter 5 is going to show us that. I'm not going to pretend like that is the main point of Ephesians chapter 5, but it is something that is addressed in Ephesians 5 that we need to take to heart. Often when we talk through Ephesians 5, this gets a little bit overlooked, and we focus on a lot. There's so much stuff in Ephesians 5 that we look at all these other things, and in a sermon series, it is easy to get these couple of verses swept under the rug. But our tendency with entertainment, whether it be our sports, either playing them or watching them, video games, our reading, shopping, hobbies, virtual reality, and the like, is that we use it to escape reality. And eventually, we become so overwhelmed with our entertainment that we actually end up with like a second reality. In Ephesians chapter 5, the verse that I want us to look centrally at begins in verse 15. Ephesians 5 starts with, therefore be imitators of God, and then talks about all the things and ways we can imitate God. One, to walk in love, not to speak rudely to each other, to be aware that God's wrath is coming. And then verse 15 says, pay careful attention then to how you walk, how you live. Not as unwise people, but as wise. And then depending on your translation, this next verse will read a little bit differently, but making the most of the time, or redeeming the time, or making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. So don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. These couple of verses will yank us, if we let them speak to us, out of our escapism. This is a massive reality check right here in the middle of how to live a Christian life. Paul warns that you should not be unwise or foolish. You can see these parallels throughout Ephesians and a lot of Paul's writings. But as Christians, we are to walk as wise people, as children of the light. And we live in a dark world, he says. And so we use that light to expose the darkness. And so he says, don't be foolish. Don't be unwise. Make the most use of the time that you have. Why? Because the days are evil. Now, first, right off the bat, the days are evil is an idiom, which means that the time is short. It obviously plays into part of what Paul is saying. The days are evil, meaning there's not much of them, so use every last bit of it that you have. That's what Paul is saying. He said, make the use of every opportunity, making the most of the time that you have, because there's not much time left. But sometimes idioms are actually more poignant than they were intended when they first were invented. So the days are evil. Obviously, Paul is saying the world that you live in up above, it talks about don't participate in the fruitless works of darkness. Instead, be children of the light. He says, don't walk like foolish people, walk like wise people. And then further back in chapter 5, he says that you should walk in love, and that you should not, you should put off sexual immorality, impurity, greed. None of that should be a part of your life. So Paul is clearly saying there's not much time that you have left, and the time that you have that is left is dark. Now, most of us would rather go about our days today and this week not thinking about it. Most of us would like to go home, cook a meal, order it in, whatever we have to do to survive that day, and then find a way to distract us from the fact that we don't have much time left. And the time that we do have left is filled with darkness. Now, I don't want us to all go home and sit around and be depressed. That is not the point. If that were the piece of advice I'd give you today, is go home and be depressed about how short you have left on this earth, and it's going to be miserable and it's going to be terrible, I would just say, like, go home and put a TV show on, because at least then you don't have to be mad about it. But this is often what our souls are reacting to, whether it just simply being we had a bad day at work, our car or our house is breaking down, so we have all these complications, whether it might be we don't feel good physically or someone in our family is dying. We want to escape these realities, because the reality is that the world is broken. The days that we live are short and filled with evil. Don't be distracted. Don't be tempted to form a way of escape from reality. In fact, the Bible, just as Ephesians tells us, is that we are not to escape from our realities, but to engage in the realities that we live in. Here in Ephesians, Paul says, hey, guess what? You're children of the light. What does light do? It goes around and exposes evil things. It exposes the darkness. In verse 13, everything exposed by the light is made clear. I think that's pretty obvious what Paul is talking about. You go into a dark room and you turn your flashlight on. Anything you point the flashlight at, you can see. Well, that's what Paul is saying, is as children of the light, we ought to be able to walk around in darkness and be able to see things clearly. Everything exposed by the light is made clear, and what makes everything clear is light. So if you go into a dark room and you don't turn on any light, you're not going to see anything, right? This quote that Paul says is a quote, which is actually a combination of like four or five verses in the Old Testament, I think is really poignant. It says, get up or wake up, sleeper, rise up from the dead, and the Messiah will shine on you. This is what we want to do. We want to go to sleep to the realities that people around us are being evil to one another or to us. We want to go to sleep to the reality that I hurt someone else today. We want to go to sleep to the fact that, you know what? Tomorrow might be my last day. We want to be lulled to sleep into thinking that there is something that will happen to make all of this go away. And the call from God is, wake up. You are children of the light. Christ has come to shine on you so that you can shine in the world. If all of the lights, if all Christians practice escapism and go into their houses, go focus on what makes them feel good, and going to sleep to the realities around them, there will be no light in the dark world. So, as Christians, first things that we need to do is that we need to be lights. Jesus talks about this in the Gospels many times. In Matthew, he says, so let your light shine before men, that they might see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. And then John also talks about the reality of being light. In 1 John, he talks about how if we are going to have fellowship with God, we must walk in the light. We are God's plan currently to expose the darkness in our world, to show them the lighted path to Jesus. Not to some better America, not to some better family, not to some better mental state of being. We are children of light to lead them to the light of the world who has come to wake them from the dead. But it's not nearly as easy as sitting at home and pretending like nobody around us needs Jesus. There are people all around us who don't know or care about what Jesus has done for them or expects them to do. And we as Christians need to shine the light of the gospel into their dark world. And secondly, we need to engage with reality, including spiritual realities. See, here's the thing. Escapism is like four steps away from what God wants us to be doing with our lives. Not only is it ignoring the day-to-day physical and relational realities, it ignores the entire aspect of the fact that we are spiritual beings with physical bodies, right? We are a united whole where we have a body, we're physical, but we also have a soul, so we're also spiritual. But we like to ignore those realities because those realities are even darker than the fact that the world doesn't operate very nicely. This is where Paul takes us in Ephesians. If you turn over to Ephesians chapter 6, as he wraps up practical ways that children of the light relate to each other, how they relate in families and as workers and employers and things of that. Chapter 6, starting in verse 10, Paul says, finally, be strengthened by the Lord and by his vast strength. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the tactics of the devil. It's one thing for us to be fully engaged in the reality of I have a job with a boss I don't like, with people that I have to work with who hate me. It is another thing to engage in reality that understands that there is more to life than the things that we see on a regular basis. The call for a Christian is to shine the light and put on armor. And why would you be putting on armor? I'm going to go ahead and throw it out there. Why would you put on armor? Because you're fighting. Right? There's a war going on. If there wasn't a war, you wouldn't need armor, especially the kind of armor that Paul is talking about when it's hand-to-hand combat. So you go through Ephesians chapter 6, and it says you got to put on the full armor of God so you can stand against the tactics of the devil. Because, verse 12, our battle is not against flesh and blood, meaning people. It's not against people. So then what is this war that we're all part of? It's against the powers of the world, the powers of darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavens. This is why you must take up the full armor of God, so that you may be able to resist in the evil day. Let's pluralize that, days, and it looks just like the verse in chapter 5. Having prepared everything to take your stand, and then Paul goes through a metaphorical way of talking about this armor. Paul says, hey, Christians, you're children of the light. You got to walk in the light, expose darkness, so everything can be made clear. Jesus wants to shine into our dark, evil days. Make every use of the time you have, because it is short and it's evil. And knowing that it is evil, you might want to prepare yourself, because it's not just evil from other people that are bad. It is evil because in the spiritual places, there is a war going on between God and Satan for you and for those around you. So if you're going to engage in reality, engage in the spiritual realities that are around you and be prepared, because when you start engaging, there will be conflict. I believe it's in 1 or 2 Peter. It says that be sober, be vigilant, because the devil is prowling around as a starving lion looking for someone to eat. That's Caleb's paraphrase. But this is the reality of the Christian life. Yes, our time here is short. It is filled with darkness because we live in a broken world that doesn't care about God. But we need to engage in that darkness and in this reality and understand that the reality is not just what we can see, taste, and touch, but the reality is that there's something going on in the spiritual realm that impacts our existence, because there is something greater going on than we could even imagine. And so when we do engage, we need to be prepared, because when you engage with realities and you engage with the unpleasant realities and the evil realities in the spiritual realm, things don't get easier. You run into the battle. If you want what is easy, go home and do everything you can to distract yourself from the realities of actual day-to-day living. It's a lot easier that way. It's a lot less painful, but you will not be making good use of your time. We are all in different stages in our lives as far as age goes. I'm not going to look at anyone. Some of us are older. Some of us are younger. Some of us that are outside of this room are only a couple years old. But the Bible continues to tell us, and the Psalms says that man fades like grass, which if you look outside right now, grass ain't doing so good. We're here for a season, and we wither away. It's also told to us that our life is simply a vapor. If you've ever made tea, there's a little steam going out of the, it just disappears. Doesn't matter if you're 2 years old, if you're 90 years old. Your time here is short, especially when compared to the eternal reality of God. We don't have much time here. And we can all thank Adam and Eve for that. But we don't have much time. So what time we have, what are we going to do with it? That's the question I would like us to have to ask ourselves and answer. We don't have much time left. What are we going to do? We could wither it away. The Bible often will talk about things like this as playing. We can play our time away by having as much fun as possible, by being as happy as possible, by distracting ourselves and running away from our lives. Or, with the time that we have left, are we going to put on armor that God gives us in order to engage in the unpleasant spiritual realities and actual day-to-day physical realities of our life in order to make a difference? You hear time and time again, is the reason given in lots of shows, which should tell you that I've watched plenty of shows, for people wanting to do things. They want to do something that matters. They want to make a difference with their life. And the Bible calls Christians to do that, to engage by shining our lights, by telling people the gospel, by living lives that tell people the gospel, by engaging in even the darkest parts of our world, because we know who we are. We are children of light. And from our Christmas message, the darkness cannot overcome the light. That might mean that we're going to have uncomfortable, heartbreaking existences if we put on an armor and go to war. But I believe that escapism is one of Satan's greatest tactics to use against those of us who are already Christians. Because who cares about soldiers who don't show up to the battlefield? If Satan can convince you to sit at home and not engage, he doesn't have to fight you because you're not doing anything. And the more and more soldiers you can convince to just stay home, the easier the fight will be, particularly if no one else on the battlefield is your enemy. Instead of us escaping reality, I would encourage us to engage with it. To make sure that we wrap this up on a good balanced note, what I am not saying is, don't you dare watch TV and cancel all your social media accounts, okay? It is totally fine for us to take moments to unwind, to relax, to find happiness in our existence. It is totally okay for you to have hobbies. I would even say it's okay for you to play video games. But if that is what you do, and that is what you turn to in order to cope with the existence that we have, you're turning to something that cannot give you the life that you need. We need to be able to turn to God and to His Word, to His community, in order for us to do what He has asked us to do, to engage in the dark world for however long He wants us here. God didn't save us to give us a vacation until heaven shows up. We've been conscripted into an army, and we have a job to do. So let us engage. Let us do our job. Let us find healthier ways to take a break than to just pretend like everything's going to be fine. It's not going to be fine. The world won't fix itself. The world is going to crash and burn not too long into the future. Now, for all I know, there could be another 6,000 years before that happens, but if you read the Bible, the world doesn't get better until after it gets destroyed. So the time that you have here would be best invested in the things that last, in God, in His Word, and in the souls of people. Those are the things that last. So don't run away. Don't stay home. Gear up. First, wake up. The Messiah is coming to shine on you. Gear up. Put your armor on. and then get to the battlefield, because that's where you belong, is engaging in the evil realities in the spiritual realm, the unpleasant realities of our day-to-day life, and the unpleasant realities of the old person that is still inside of you that you are fighting to put off in order to become more like Jesus. Engage. Don't disengage. Whether it be your sports, I like sports. I have teams. I got two teams because I moved to Minnesota, so I like Minnesota sports teams. I follow them, whether it be movies or shows, whatever it is, don't get lost in them. Don't let them lull you to sleep. Stay alert. Stay vigilant. Satan's out there looking to destroy you and those around you. Dear Father, we thank you for your word, for the help that it gives to us, the way for us to understand the world that we do live in, even though it is not the world that we all know inside should be. That we all want the world as it will be when you bring heaven here, when you are fully reigning and have cast out every enemy. We pray that in the meanwhile, with the short amount of time that we have left, that we would not try to escape reality, but to engage with it. That we would come to you for our rest, our joy, and our peace. And that we would be ready to go to war, not with people, but with the spiritual forces behind the brokenness in our world. Pray that we would be wise with what we fight with, that it would be your word, not our own understanding. Pray that we would understand how to wisely engage with people in order for them to hear the good news of the gospel. We pray that you would give us an urgency of knowing that this time is short and dark, and we have a job to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.